I'm happy to be here, and I hope you are. It's just so good to be in the presence of God with you. And you know what? I know life gets heavy, and I know it's heavy for some of y'all today. But we serve a big God. And like I said, afterwards, we're going to sing that song that we just sang, that the praise team just closed with. We're going to close with that, and we're going to invite you to come forward for prayer afterwards, after I've had a little ceremony and laying on of hands for our new board member and ministry leaders. So we've got a lot to do this morning, and I want to start off with commandment number 4. Do you know what commandment number 4 is? Remember the Sabbath day, the King James Version said. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How about commandments 1, 2, and 3? Do you remember those? Work with me now. I want you to learn. I want you to learn, and if you can relate easier in the New Living Translation, and it's kind of, you say, Jim, I get a little confused with the thou shalt and the shalt nots and all that stuff. Remember then the New Living Translation that says, you shall not have any gods before you. Or the New Living Translation that says, you shall not make for yourselves any carved images. Or the New Living Translation that says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. That might be a little easier for you to remember. But I want to encourage you to memorize these verses. You know what? We're challenging little kids every Wednesday night to memorize verses. And so we want to challenge you to memorize some too. And today we're talking about commandment number 4, which is remember, or some of your translations say, observe that day. I was reading in a magazine just the other day, and John Piper, respected author and pastor, I think a lot of you know him, or certainly have read his material or have listened to his sermons. Here's what he said. There are about 200 million unchurched people in America, making America one of the 4 largest unchurched nations in the world. Now, you've heard me say lately that I've seen some Barna statistics that said there's 49% people in America in church on a given Sunday morning, 51 not. And you've heard me say some statistics about our area. The funeral directors in this area have gathered some information based on the people they minister to day in and day out that have lost loved ones. And they say 6 in 10 people in our area are not in churches. And here, Pastor Reverend Piper says there are about 200 million unchurched folks in America today. You know what percentage that is? We just crossed the 300 million threshold, remember? Just last year. We just crossed 300 million people in America. So that means we are at two-thirds. Two-thirds in America. I'm not condemning them. I'm saying we got work to do. Amen? We've got work to do in the body of Christ. If we know Jesus, and we know that we know He is the way to heaven, and He is the way to eternity, and the way to fulfill us and fill us with His Spirit, and there's two-thirds, 200 million, not remembering the Sabbath day, we have work to do to love our neighbor and invite him to church and help them to see the good news of Jesus. Well, my point is quite simply this. If Pastor and Reverend Piper is correct, and I'm sure he is, that means there's 66% or thereabouts in Americans not in church today. And then there are the Christians, listen to me now, brothers and sisters, there are the Christians that have forgotten how to observe the Sabbath day. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm not here to condemn or chomp on toes. I'm here to suggest to you that the commandments are still valid. You know what? And if we remember all 4 of these commandments that we've gone through these last 4 weeks, and we're going to embark on 6 more in the future, we're going to know God more. We're going to know His Word more. We're going to know His expectation more. And so that's why I challenge you to read through these over and over and over and get these 10 commandments in your mind. Let me read for you the New King James Version. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 5. This verse is a little longer, beginning at verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 5, New King James Version said, observe, change the word for remember, but observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. As the Lord your God commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And I'm going to give you a definition for Sabbath in just a minute. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you, and I and the children of Israel commanded you, to keep the Sabbath day. Those of you with the New Living Translation, I like that translation as well. I'm going to read you just two lines from it, not the whole command. It says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now think that through a minute. The other one says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's not saying, it's not telling us something different. It just has different words. But think that through a moment. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So if I keep it holy, I'm observing the Sabbath day. If I'm observing the Sabbath day, I'm keeping it holy. And so this is a command that God has given to us. In it, he says, you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest. And here's what I like about the New Living: dedicated to the Lord. Dedicated to the Lord your God. Now you all know what Genesis chapter 1 says. You all know that God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis chapter 1. And Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 says this: and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested. He rested from his work on the seventh day which he had done. Then God blessed that seventh day, and he sanctified that seventh day. This is what the word says. This is what the word tells us. He set apart as holy, and it says, because he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. And so, you see, this idea of setting apart a time of rest goes way back to the beginning when he created the heavens and the earth. For even though the Bible mentions that in Genesis, this is kind of where this setting started, we don't necessarily see the institution of the Sabbath day until later on in Exodus. In Exodus 16, you remember the manna coming down from heaven. You remember what he said about the sixth day? Yes would mean this. No would mean this. Work with me here. On the sixth day, he said, go out and gather up enough for the seventh too. You remember the story? And he said, because this day is a day of rest. And then in Exodus 20, he established this official covenant, if you will. This official covenant obligation, he gave it at Exodus 20 from Mount Sinai. He wrote it. You know how the tablets got wrote, by the finger of God, the Bible says. And he wrote on there, keep a day set aside for me. Keep a day holy unto me. And so this officially came into law, if you will, in Exodus 20 with the children of Israel. And after that, when you read through Exodus, it's talked about over and over and over. I told Sherry this winter I was reading through that. And I said, it's mind-boggling how many times this is telling us to set a day aside. And she says to me, so what's it telling you? In other words, she says, you're not listening very good. But the Bible talks about it over and over and over. Let me give you just a little commentary quick. I know our time is going so quickly, but I want to give you just a little commentary about this. Sabbath is a Hebrew verb that was originally described or said Shabbath. And that means, quite simply, to rest from labor. That's what the Hebrew verb means, to rest from labor. Day of rest. The Sabbath was made for man. Why was the Sabbath made for man? Because, I like the way this commentator says it, the soul withers without it. If you were going to work 7 days a week, over and over and over and over, you would be exhausted. And if we were going to go on 7 days a week without any connection to God, without any soul rest, our soul begins to wither without it. And yet, it thrives in proportion to its observance. And that's why God set it apart for us. The Sabbath was made for humanity to rest and recharge and reconnect with God. And so I also like what this commentator says. God made it for men and women in a certain spiritual state because we needed it. We need rest for our soul. We need rest for our bodies. He created it for us because we need it. He goes on to say, the need, therefore, is deeply hidden in human nature. He who can dispense with it must be holy and spiritual indeed. He's being facetious in that remark. In other words, he goes on to say, he who still unholy and unspiritual would yet dispense with it is a man that would fain be wiser than his maker. He's being a little facetious, but he's saying, if I'm not setting this aside and think I can go and go and go and go, you must be wiser than God because God said set aside. He's being a little facetious here, but that's what he says. Why a Sabbath? To rest in the Lord. To rest from the activities of the day. He goes on to say, and I want to just throw this out for a moment because we've been asked the question, you've been asked, I've been asked, why Sunday? If God established this, he had this day, this week, this time frame where he created, and he set aside the Sabbath, which we know to be the last day of the week, then why Sunday? Here's what this commentator writes. The change of the day, originally at creation, the seventh day of the week was set apart and consecrated as a Sabbath. The first day of the week is now observed as the Sabbath. We know that for a fact, the first day of the week has been observed from apostolic times, and the necessary conclusion is that it was observed by the apostles and their immediate disciples. This we may be sure, they never would have done this without permission of the authority of the Lord Jesus. After his resurrection, which took place on the first day of the week, that's according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them, we never find Christ meeting with his disciples again on the seventh day. But he specially honored the first day by manifesting himself to them over and over and over. Again, on the first day of the week, Jesus appeared to his disciples in John 20. Some have calculated that Christ's ascension took place on the first day of the week, and there could be no doubt that the descent of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost was that day, according to Acts chapter 2. Thus, Christ appears as instituting a new day to be observed by his people as the Sabbath, which remember what it means? A day of rest. Sabbath means a day of rest. Thus, Christ appears to have instituted this new day to be observed, a day to be henceforth known amongst them as the Lord's Day. That's why we worship on Sunday. We have this day set aside to worship him, to rest our soul, to rest our physical body. But remember the statistic I said from Reverend Piper earlier? Today, a Sabbath day of physical and spiritual rest is no longer observed. Matter of fact, go back to Exodus, go back to the children of Israel, go back into Egypt, and understand why it was in Exodus 20, verse 11, I think it is, that he says, remember this day. Do you suppose back in Egypt the Egyptians were saying, go ahead and take the day off, Israelites? You think that's a reality? I don't think so. 7 days they labored in the sun and the heat and in the desert. Labor day after day after day. And so when he said to them, remember this Sabbath day, it was an opportunity to have a break, to worship the Lord, to rest. And today, I wonder how much different we are than the Egyptians. When two-thirds no longer, well, Reverend Piper called them unchurched, two-thirds probably no longer observe that day. But worse yet, brothers and sisters, many of those of us claiming the name of Jesus, claiming the name of Christ as Lord, keep only a small part of it, and sometimes none at all. Maybe a couple of hours, maybe a little more, then it's back to the mentality of whatever I've got to do to catch up, or whatever my boss requires of me, or whatever it is. And I'm not here to condemn those that have to work. Their employers have established that as a work day. I'm not here to do any of that. I am suggesting that commandment 4 has not changed. That's what I'm suggesting. Commandment 4 has not changed. You heard me say a week or two ago, these first 4 commands are us and God. You shall have no other gods before you. You shall not make for yourselves any graven image. You shall not misuse His name and remember my day. These are between humanity and God. The next ones are going to be more about us as persons to each other. These 4 are about our relationship with God. And I'm simply saying the 4th one hasn't changed. He didn't take the eraser out and scratch it out and erase it. The 4th one hasn't changed. God Himself rested, it said. And God Himself set aside a day to rest in our soul, lest we wither and lest we become too stressed out and too strained. He set it aside to refresh our spirit, to keep it holy. Remember, observe the Sabbath day. Why? To keep it holy is what He reminds us. To keep it holy before Him, a holy God. I have been guilty as the next of breaking commandment 4. For which I have had to repent and apologize to the Lord, because He has set it aside as a day unto Himself. I could tell you long stories about when I first went to work in the plant here, and we were working 7 days a week. We were working 12-hour days. And I come to my direct supervisor at that time, and I said, "Are you kidding me? If we're going to do this, how long do you expect us to hold up?" Sandy was there. She can giggle. And I simply said to him, "God will honor if we take a day off." And I was just a peon. After a while, I wasn't the peon. And I was in charge of all the production. And I told our bosses over and over, "We will get it done in 6 days. We will keep one to the Lord." And I'm not boasting about this. This is from God. And Sandy can verify, for the next 18 years, we never worked a Sunday. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you another story in just a moment. When we take His commands literally and seriously, He honors it. He will help you in your endeavors. You say, "Jim, I got too much to do. It can't be done in 6 days." Brothers and sisters, I tried that excuse and it don't work. It's lame. And I'm going to tell you another story in a moment about somebody that proves it's lame. God said, "Take a day off." He meant it. That's why your title in your bulletin says, "Take a day off." And again, my beloved said to me, "What about you, preacher?" Matthew, and I know, I'm confessing to you, I have been guilty. And I know, and I'm very aware of what Jesus did in the New Testament. I'm very aware of what He said. I'm very aware of the healings that He did on the Sabbath. Mark 2:27, he says, "The Sabbath was made for man." And in Matthew 12, 10 through 13, there's this little story. There's this man with a crippled hand, and they tried to trap him. They want to know if it was okay to heal. And God said to them, "What man is there among you?" This is Matthew 10, verse 11. "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, you will not lay hold of it and pick him out?" He's just telling him because they're trying to trap him. "Go ahead, Rabbi, try. Just try and heal on the Sabbath again so we can condemn you." And he says, who amongst you wouldn't have an oxen in the pit or a sheep in the pit that wouldn't get them out? And then he goes on to say, therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. And he healed him. Okay, I understand all that. My point is, the problem is not in doing good on the Sabbath. You know, I told you just a while ago, there was a homeless gal walked in the rain here last fall, and she needed to be someplace. She wanted us to put her up in the motel, and I said, where do you live? Well, I stay in Moorhead. Well, why don't we take you to Moorhead? So we took her, long story short, Sherry and I spent Sunday afternoon taking her to Moorhead. And my point is simply this, the problem is not in doing good. There sometimes arises things that have got to be done. The problem, as I see it, brothers and sisters, is even in the church house, even in the church family, too often we act on the Lord's Day just like we acted the last six. That is the problem. And again, I'm not condemning because some of your bosses say and some of your roles dictate this or that. I am simply saying we need to take time for Jesus. We need to take time to rest. One churchgoer told me just the other day, he said, you know what? He said, I only do what's fun on Sundays. Of course, that's after he spends an hour or two in church. And I can rationalize that away too. I can rationalize, well, I think baling hay is fun. Whether I'm driving the big baler or whether I'm stacking the little bales, I think it's fun. I can rationalize away not working on the Sabbath by saying, well, Jim, I only do what's fun. The trouble is we get all involved in what we think is necessary and fun, and we have forgotten that God said, take a day of rest unto me. And so, like I said before, I'm not going to stand here and suggest to you that's what's right and wrong on your Sundays regarding work. But I am going to stand here and explain and express to you the fourth commandment hasn't changed. Time needs to be set aside for Jesus. Time needs to be set aside for rest, for God. And here's the story I was going to tell you about real quickly. There's a man by the name of S. Truett Cathy. You heard of him? Nobody in the first service did either. That's because you're not from the South. If you're from the South, you would know him. There's a man by the name of S. Truett Cathy. He still lives. He's in his 90s. In 1946, he opened his first restaurant in Hapeville, Georgia. In the 50s and the 60s, he began to establish what we know today as the chicken breast sandwich. And he began to open up other restaurants, and he began to move his franchises into the malls. And in the 1960s, he started to have a few more, and he named them Chick-fil-A. Now we're on the same page, some of us, aren't we? And if you haven't been in the South, in particular the Southeast, you still don't know what I'm talking about. I'll get there. This man by the name of S. Truett Cathy now has stores. He has 1,430 stores selling chicken sandwiches called Chick-fil-A. He and his franchise are in 38 states. 41 years of consecutive growth. 41 years of consecutive growth. Every year is a little better in his business. In his business, last year's sales were $2.9 billion selling chicken sandwiches. He gives away millions in scholarships. He gives away millions in donations to disaster relief and all manner of things. And brothers and sisters, here's my point. He is never open on Sunday. Never. 1,430 stores in 38 states, $3 billion in sales, and he has never been open on a Sunday. He said early on, this is God's day, and I will not dishonor him by working in my restaurant on this day, nor will I expect my employees to. And he has been blessed. God has honored that over and over and over, and they still don't go looking for a Chick-fil-A sandwich on Sunday, brothers and sisters. You ain't going to find one. You're going to have to wait till Monday. Or get one on Saturday. The argument that says, well, preacher, I can't get all done what I need to do in 6 days. Brothers and sisters, that's just what it is, an argument. Because when we get serious with God, it's this in tithing, it's this in our worship of commandment 1, 2, 3, it's this in worship of 4. If we get serious with the Father, He gets serious with you. And He will help you regardless of what you're up against. There's a business right here in northern Minnesota. I could tell you another story about them. They used to work 7 days a week too. Until somebody suggested maybe we ought to set a day aside for the Lord. And then the blessing. There's a book written on this about Marvin Windows. And there's the Buck Knife Company. And over, there's these huge employers and institutions that have set this day aside for God and their employees. If the employees want it, it's there. If they don't, that's their choice. But the argument that says, Jim, I can't get everything done in 6 weeks or 6 days a week, if we tried it and started establishing and setting aside a day purely for Him, for rest of our soul, amazing what would happen. Time has run out and I'm not done. 6 days, He said, you shall labor, and one you shall rest. 6 days you shall labor. And I said this earlier service, somebody told me, and I used to think a rest is boring. When I was younger and had nickels worth of energy, I thought rest was boring too. But when you get a little older, you think rest is valid. Could use a little once in a while. You say, what am I going to do, Jim, if I'm just supposed to sit around on Sunday? Worship Almighty God, read your Bible, spend time with your family, rest, be spiritually recharged, come to worship Him. All these things are possibilities. And I'll close with this because I know our time is getting late. How, brothers and sisters, are we in America, are we in Motley, or wherever you're from today, how are we ever going to experience revival if we don't take seriously these commands? How are we ever going to see the presence of God descend upon us like it did in the Old Testament, like it has in revival times that we know to be true even around the world in the last decades, if we disregard commandment 1 that says you shall have no other gods before you, or disregard number 2 that says you shall not make for yourself graven images, or disregard the one that talks about His name, or disregard His day? How are we ever going to see revival if we disregard the Word of God? The commands of God were laid out there for His children. Yes, it's 3,500 years ago when He gave them to Moses. But they're just as relevant today. They're just as relevant today. Let's pray. Father, please forgive us for too often times forgetting about these important commands. Forgive me too, Lord. Too often times I have been a violator of these commands. And I repent and am sorry before You today. Father, help us, Your people, to hold these in highest regard. Like we talked about last week, Your name. Help us to hold it in highest regard. Your day in highest regard. You are big enough to take care of our issues 6 days if we will set aside one for You. And I know we have employers that demand us work on Sundays. I know our business, our vocation sometimes do, Father. Help us just to be mindful of Your commandment and rest in You as we can. To be refreshed in You, Father, regularly. To have our soul revitalized in You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for this command. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.